Chapter 26.
Lexi, talk to me.
Nan's voice sounded like it was a mile away. Lexi's head was fuzzy and her arm stung, like the time she'd been attacked by hornets that were nesting in her old metal swing set. Her cheeks felt like someone was rubbing warm, wet sandpaper on them. Slowly, she opened her eyes. She was on the ground, looking up at the lattice corners of the half-built gazebo wall, at the trees above. The gazebo. She sat up quickly, then fell back against someone who had been cradling her in her lap.
What happened?
Lexi, you're alive.
Ruth, Ida, and Helen rushed over, clucking about like mother hens. Four furry dogs wiggled around her, licking her face and hands, and jumping into her lap. Then Lexi remembered she'd been shot. Her head jerked to the side to inspect her arm. Nan's was pressing a napkin against it, apparently one she'd used to wrap up the last scone, since the scone was now lying on the ground. Her arm didn't look too bad. At least it was still attached.
You were just grazed, Nan's answered her unspoken question. You'll be fine.
But she must not have been fine, because she was seeing double. She wasn't seeing just four gray-haired old ladies in black polyester pantsuits in the gazebo. She was seeing eight of them.
Was she seeing double?
No, not exactly double, because Nan's, Ruth, Ida, and Helen were crouched down next to her, and the other polyester suits were tying Olive up with thick rope.
Lexi pushed to a sitting position, feeling much better now. What's going on?
One of the other suits turned to look at her, and Lexi recognized her as the woman from the fan club who had come into her bakery.
We got here just in the nick of time, the woman said. Oh, Lexi, this is June, Sally, Belinda, and Florence, the women who run Olive's fan club. Olive's former fan club now.
Sally scowled down at Olive's unconscious body.
After Olive shot you, these lovely women rushed in, and Florence grabbed the nail gun and shot Olive right in the knees, Nan said. It must be really painful, because she passed out, and she's been out ever since, Ida added. If it wasn't for these ladies, we might be in our concrete graves right now.
Ruth glanced over at the cement foundation.
It's very much appreciated, Lexi said truthfully.
She alternated patting first one dog and then the next, as they vied for her attention, seemingly unconcerned about their unconscious owners lying just feet away.
But what were you guys doing out here in the middle of the night?
Well, as you know, as part of our duties as fan club founders, we need to keep up on the comings and goings of Olive, Sally said.
There is a big conference going on right now, and there is some question as to whether Olive herself is there, or if she sent her assistant Connie to impersonate her, June added.
So we were just doing a little midnight reconnaissance to see if we could spot her, Belinda said.
Florence leaned toward them and whispered, You know, she can be very reclusive.
Anyway, Sally continued, we were parked down the street when we saw you pull up. We wanted to see what you were up to, thinking maybe you were part of a rival fan club gang. We debated coming onto the property, but then we saw Olive come out of the house, and as we crept closer, we heard the conversation.
So you heard her confessing to everything then? Lexi asked.
Yes, we did. And when she shot you, I don't know what came over me. I ran in, grabbed the nail gun, and shot her back.
It was all very exciting, Belinda said. almost like being in our own mystery book.
But that still doesn't explain what exactly you people are doing here, Sally said.
We're private investigators, Nan said proudly. We witnessed the murder with this drone here, and we've been investigating it ever since.
Oh, well, we barely noticed you in those black outfits, Florence said.
I noticed yours are very similar.
Ruth went to stand beside Florence as they compared their outfits. I got mine at Marshall's. Where did you get yours?
I got mine there, too. They were on sale last month.
I got mine at the same sale.
The sound of sirens split the air, and they all looked at each other.
We should probably call the police.
You haven't called them? Lexi asked.
No, we were more concerned with finding out if you were okay and securing Olive, and then, well, we got to talking and...
Nan shrugged.
We figured we had the perpetrators well tied up anyway, so we had plenty of time.
Ida cocked her ear toward the street.
And if my guess is right, the police are coming here right now anyway.
Ida's guess was right. The sirens stopped outside the Pendletons. The police came cautiously around back, saw them in the gazebo, and used their high-powered flashlights to light the place up like the nighttime field at the Super Bowl. Lexi squinted into the bright lights, her gut clenching when she heard Jack's voice.
What's going on back here? We had a call about a disturbance, dogs barking and... Lexi, is that you?
Jack rushed to her side, fussing over her wound, calling an ambulance against her wishes, then admonishing her for putting herself in danger.
But we caught the killer,
Ida pointed to Olive and Rupert.
I see, but why is Olive tied up?
Jack asked.
Olive was the killer, Florence cut in.
Jack whirled around, his eyes darting among Nan's, Ruth, Ida, and Helen, and the four ladies of the fan club. He zoomed in on the fan club ladies, his brows drawn together.
And exactly who are you?
The woman stuck her hand out.
I'm Florence Dayton, president of the Olive Pendleton fan club. Former Olive Pendleton fan club,
Sally reminded her.
Yes, right. We don't want to have a fan club for a murderer, Florence said.
So Rupert wasn't the killer?
Jack asked.
No, and here's your proof.
Ida held out the USB card from the drone, keeping the drone itself securely under her arm. Lexi figured she didn't want to let it get into police custody, as they would likely keep it in the evidence room for years, and she needed to get it back to her grandson.
On this card is the video that will prove who the killer is. And the body is right in the freezer, Nan said.
Jack nodded to one of the other police officers, who opened the freezer, then turned back to Jack.
Yep, she's not kidding about that.
The ambulances pulled up just as Rupert was coming to. Jack made sure Lexi got loaded in the first ambulance before putting Olive and Rupert into their own separate ambulances. Then he climbed into the back of the ambulance with her.
You don't have to come with me, Lexi said. I'm fine. You have a job to do here.
Nan's, Ruth, Ida, and Helen, as well as the fan club, hovered around the back of the ambulance, too.
I'll go with her, Nan said.
Give me your keys, Lexi, and I'll take the car and meet you guys at the hospital, Ruth said.
I don't think that's a good idea. Lexi looked nervously from Ruth to Jack.
I'll meet them at the hospital,
Jack said. Then, realizing the ladies probably didn't have a ride, he added,
I'll drive you all there.
Well, that's settled then.
Ruth started toward Lexi's car, but stopped when Caspian Kingsley appeared in a royal blue bathrobe with gold fleur-de-lis on it.
My word, what is going on over here? I only called because the dogs were making a ruckus. This seems like quite a to-do.
That's right, Mr. Kingsley. In case you don't know, there was a murder here. And our town's most famous author is being charged with it, Florence said.
Caspian looked her up and down. Then his gaze flitted from Florence to the other fan club ladies, and then over to the sleuths. A flicker of recognition crossed his eyes when he looked at Nance, Ruth, Ida, and Helen.
My lord, there's 8 of them?
He looked at Jack, then leaned in toward him as if providing him a confidence.
I don't know what happened here, but I wouldn't put any stock in what these ladies say. From what I've seen, they're all crazy.